because we're gonna do some reading tonight here in Matthew chapter 26. This week, I don't know, with the coming of Easter this coming Sunday morning, and man, just looking forward to that celebration. And seems like always there's people that show up at church on Easter that don't show up any other time, and everybody has a kind of a bright excitement on them on Easter morning, and wearing the new clothes that mom has bought for us to wear and all those kinds of things. But Sunday morning, let's be much in prayer for our service, that we'll just let God's presence fill this house, and that if someone's here that needs a Savior, that they'll find a Savior Sunday morning. But just thinking about that this week, it seems like not only do I want to celebrate what's going to happen on Sunday, but between now and then, and I'm not talking about what's actually going to take place, but figuratively and just in remembrance of what took place during this time. In Matthew chapter number 26, let's begin reading with verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Now, ain't it amazing? I'm going to make just a few short comments as we read along, but we're going to read most of chapter 26. Ain't it amazing that here in chapter number 2 that Jesus tells his disciples what's going to happen, and yet when it happens, they can't believe it happened. And they don't know what's going on. But you know, we can find ourselves in that same boat, because we have heard about the second coming of Christ, about the rapture of the church. I've heard about it since I was big enough to understand and hear Dad preach. And yeah, I don't think I still take it in reality like I should. But here the disciples, they get Jesus looking right at them and say, in 2 days, he says, I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to be crucified. In verse number 3, it says, "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." In other words, they're going to take him by trickery. You know, I'm thankful tonight that when they got together to try to find out how they was going to bring an accusation against Christ, how that they was going to make a plan to have him put to death, that they had to make up something. There was nothing. The Bible tells us that he lived a perfect life, and they had to make up something in order to be able to find a reason to have him crucified. Verse number 5, but they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now let's skip down to verse number 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Now can you imagine, here Judas is, he has walked with Christ, he has seen the miracles that Christ has done, he's been there day in and day out, and now all of a sudden he's willing to betray him, he's willing to help them capture Christ in order that they may crucify him. He's willing to do all of that for a little bit of what this world could give him, a little bit of silver that this world could give him. And yet when we look at this and we say, how in the world could Judas do that? But all around us today, people are doing the very same thing. My loved ones are doing the same thing. Some of your loved ones are doing the same thing. They see what this world has to offer, and they can't see past that. They can't see what the greater good is. They can't see what the real purpose is of us being here. And they're trading what a little bit that this world can give them, and they're trading it for what Christ could give them, or to be faithful in Christ. I mean, here we read about Judas in the Bible, and Judas, he made history because of his choices. He made history because it's just like the other day, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but it's just the way that happens. You can either make good history or bad history. The Cavaliers this year, they made bad history. They're the first team ever to be beat by a number 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. And somebody said, well, at least they made history. Well, that's not exactly the kind of history you want to make. And here, Judas, you could say, well, everybody knows who Judas is, and he made history. Look, his name is mentioned right here. But I don't think this is the kind of history that you want to make. But you know, we're all leaving behind a history. We're all leaving behind a legacy. What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? Are you leaving behind a legacy that you chose Christ, that you followed Christ, that you was not willing to give him up for what this world has to give? Or are we leaving behind a legacy that, hey, we want a relationship with Christ, but we want everything this world's got to offer too? We better be careful if we get to seeking the things that this world can give us. And let me just go ahead and say, I've been guilty. And if we're not careful, it comes into our lives regularly. because this world has a whole lot that it can give. There's a whole lot of things out here that we think are blessings, and sometimes they're just things to distract us from what God wants us to be doing. Let's continue reading verse number 17. I said I wasn't going to preach much. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare to eat for the Passover?" Now, they're going to celebrate the Passover, and they're saying, where do you want us to go that we can do this? Verses number 18, he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and saying to him, 'The master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me.'" I think it's kind of interesting how Jesus goes in and he sits down with the disciples and he says, "Look, one of y'all is going to betray me. One of you is going to turn on me." And look what happens next. Verse number 22, "And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, 'Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?'" I think in their hearts, every single one of them knew that they were capable. They knew that they were capable of failing and that they were capable of betraying Christ. And in one way, that's remarkable, but at the same time, because I believe that it shows that they weren't sitting on a holy high horse. You know, they understood that it could happen to them, and we better be careful if we think that it can't happen to us. But in the other way, man, I hope that my mind is so made up for Christ. I hope that my heart is so made up for Christ that I think, God, with your help, there's no way that I'm going to betray you. There's no way that I want to be the one that falls and fails. And y'all know I preach all the time that temptation's out here, and if we're not careful, that any of us are acceptable to fall, and that any of us can fall. But here the disciples, they start saying, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" And we better be really careful in our lives knowing that it could be us. Verse number 23, "And he answered and said, 'He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.'" You notice it was the one that was trying to give the appearance that he was closest to Christ. It was the one that wanted to reach right in the bowl with Christ. You know, a lot of times, the people who are putting on the best show that they are walking with Christ. You know what? If you're walking with Christ, you don't have to put on a show that you're walking with Christ. You'll just show it. Your life will show it. But the ones that are just trying to put on that show that I'm right with Christ, and look what Christ's answer was to him. He said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him. But woe to that man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It is good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said it." He said, "Yeah, it's you, Judas. You're going to be the one that betrays me. Yeah, you're sitting here right beside me, and yet you're going to make a wrong choice. You're sitting right here beside me, and you're giving the appearance to everybody else that me and you, we're right here together, reaching in the same bowl. But Judas, me and you both know what's fixing to happen." You know, a lot of times, there have been times in my Christian life, especially as a teenager, especially when I wasn't looking to God to be my number one. I wasn't looking to God to be my strength. I wasn't looking to him to be my shield. Hey, I still was at church every Sunday morning. I was still sitting on about the second pew. I was there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I was giving an appearance that I was walking really close to Christ. But me and God knew where my heart was. And tonight, that's what's important, is whether or not, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. It doesn't matter if you have been a church member for 15 years. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter if you teach a Sunday school class. If your heart is away from God, don't stay in that predicament. Don't stay in that situation. Get things right with God. Verse number 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" You know, when the time did come that the blood of bulls and goats was no longer going to be sufficient for sacrifice to forgive us of our sins, aren't you glad that Jesus said, "I'm willing to give my blood. I'm willing to go to that cross. I'm willing. No longer, if the bulls and goats are no longer acceptable, I will be that perfect sacrifice." Verse number 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day which I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All of you shall be offended." All of you shall be made to stumble. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. All of you shall be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, after you read Matthew 26, you want to look at the disciples and go, did y'all not listen? Did y'all not hear what he was saying? Because he told you in verse 1 or 2 that he was going to be crucified. And then he tells you in verse number 32, but after I am risen, come on, guys, put it together. But how many of us, I hope not us, I think this is your backbone of your church, what's here on Wednesday night. But how many people today have heard the truth? I mean, it's been given to them and they just can't quite believe it. They just can't quite accept it. Verse number 33, I want you to look what Peter says. Peter answered and said to them, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Remember what Peter says right here. He says, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, I believe in this time that we've been reading about that Jesus has been calm, that he's just been trying to tell the disciples what's fixing to take place. He's been trying to give them the information, and now Jesus has come to a place to where he's got to deal with it himself. And he says he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You know, I know that Jesus was God here on this earth. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh, and we know that Jesus was God here on this earth. And that was the fleshly form of God. But, you know, he was as much human as you and I are. And as he is right here, and I think sometimes that we even get lost in our minds, well, that he was God and he was supernatural. And this probably really didn't bother him that much. But you can see here, the Bible says that he was sorrowful and began to be very heavy. I believe that he was battling with this. Verse number 38, then saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Even as Jesus went there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray, and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I want you to notice that that was his will. Because look what he says next. He says, nevertheless, not as I will. Not as I want to do, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now look, this was the guy that just said a few verses back that even though everybody else be offended, even though if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. I'll never let you down. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour, Peter? And we're already starting to see Peter take a sort of a different approach. Verse number 41. Jesus says unto them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, here's the second prayer. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Pretty much the same thing. God, if it's not your will for me to escape this, not my will, but thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. You know what? I'm glad that God put some stuff in the scriptures for me, for strength, for help. Because here was the disciples, the ones that was walking with him. And yet, even though Christ done called them out one time, he done come back one time and they were asleep. And he says, what, you couldn't watch for me 1 hour? And he goes back and he prays again and he comes back again. Hey, we can't even get a grasp on praying for an hour. How long has it been since you prayed for an hour? If I was to say, hey, we're going to pray for an hour, some of y'all lay down and go sleep. I know Justin would. He'd lay down and go sleep if I said we're going to pray for an hour. Or either get up and leave, one or the other. But Jesus goes and he prays and he comes back and he says, you couldn't watch for me 1 hour? And he goes away again, and when he comes back, they're in the same condition. How many times in your life have you done something and Christ called you out on it? And you said, oh, I can't believe that I've done that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you find yourself right back there again. But you want to notice that Christ didn't kick them upside the head. Christ didn't run them out of the garden. Christ didn't say, you're no longer one of my disciples. He says, come on, watch for me, guys. He encouraged them. He said, be strong. Watch. And I'm glad that Christ gave me that example, even in his disciples, that Josh, when you fall and when you come short, and when I catch you, and when I say that, when I find you doing things that you're not supposed to be doing, and when my spirit reveals that to you, no, I'm not going to kick you upside the head, and I'm not going to run you off. And it's not that I'm going to disown you, but I want you to do what I want you to do. Come on, be strong. Verse number 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. He went away three times, and all three times he prayed the same prayer. That, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, I want you to take notice of something right here. This helped me today. I was sitting at my desk, and this thought just pounded in my brain. I didn't get a whole lot of work done for the next 15 minutes after this. I was just sitting there thinking, it is hard to believe this, but God and Christ, the fleshly form of God, they put our need above Christ's own will. They put my need for salvation above Christ's own will. Your need for forgiveness of your sin was above Christ's own will. His own desire for his life was that he didn't have to go to the cross. His desire here in the garden was, I know what this is going to be. I know the pain that's going to be associated with this. I know the humiliation that's going to be associated with this. But nevertheless, not as I will. But God, because you want your people to have a way of escape. God, because you want our people to have a way of forgiveness of their sins. You want to be able to write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not about what I want, God, but it's about what you have to have. It's about that supreme sacrifice. It's about what they need. And yet we have people that don't understand the love of Christ, how that Christ loved us so much that he was willing to go beyond his will and give us what we need, and that's salvation through Jesus Christ. Man, that just today when I was sitting at work, and I said, you know what? God heard his only son say, my will is to miss the cross. But if there's no other way for salvation, I'm willing to go to the cross. I just wonder tonight, and I'm not throwing stones by no stretch of the imagination, but if we were in here tonight and we didn't have padded pews, we didn't have air condition or heat, whichever one happens to be running, it needs to be air right now if you ask me. We didn't have a comfortable place to come tonight and worship, would we be here? It would be against our will, wouldn't it? It would be, well, I don't know. I don't think I'm going down there. Preacher's going to preach too long. Preacher's going to talk about me. He's going to call my name out in the middle of church. He might ask me to pray. We're going to, it's boring to go to church. Y'all may not ever thought that, but there's been a time in my life where I thought church was boring. And it's because I was out of tune with God and I wasn't getting what I needed while I was in there. But here Christ went above and beyond his will to meet a need. I wonder tonight, are we willing to get beyond our will for Christ? Are we willing to get past what we want for Christ? Now, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Denying myself is not something I like to do. I like to fulfill all of my desires. I like for me to be number one. I'm the most important person in the world. And if you would be honest, you are too. We like to fulfill our heart's desires. And here, Christ had a desire. Because he said, not as I will, but as thou will. Verse number 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto him, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. If you continue reading here, you'll see that Judas led the men right to Jesus there in the garden. And what he didn't realize is what Jesus was praying, what Jesus was there being sorrowful for, he was there honestly on the behalf of the people that was fixing to come and arrest him. He was there on the behalf of Judas, who was fixing to betray him. Because what he was doing was going to make a way for forgiveness of sins for whosoever will. without limitations. We put limitations on God. We want to carve out little sectors that don't deserve God's forgiveness. But I want to tell you tonight that from the worst sinner that you can think of, to the most evil person that you can think of, to the best person in the whole world, that's who Christ died for. That's who he was praying for in that garden. That, God, this ain't my will. This is not what I want. But this is your plan, and I'm willing to walk in the middle of your plan. Let's see if I can pick back up. Verse number 50. Judas has come. He has come to have them arrest Christ. And look at what Jesus said to him. Verse number 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend, where are you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hands and drew his sword and struck a servant on the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword in its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now listen to this right here, and I'm gonna stop right here. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? No, verse number 54. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? I'm glad that Christ knew the plan. He knew what he was here for. He knew that you and I had no other options. There was no other way that we can be reconciled to the Father except through the blood of his Son. He knew that I would stand guilty of my sin. He knew that there was no way that an atonement could be made for my sin without him going to the cross. He knew, even though I don't think that he wanted to. Because he says, if it's not your will, but not as my will, but as your will. I don't think that Jesus was there in the garden going, I get to go to the cross tomorrow. Or I get to go to the cross here in a couple of days. I don't think it was that at all. I think he really understood what he was fixing to go through. But he was willing to do it for you and I. Now, I'm going to speak for myself. When I look for my Christian life, and I look at everything that I've done for God, I mean, I'll stack them up, what all I've done for God. Stack ain't very high. But I look at my Christian life, and sometimes when I think that, man, I've done something, and then I look at what he done for me, I'm so unworthy tonight. I am so unworthy of a love like Christ gave me. I am so unworthy of a Savior that said, I'm going to put his need above my will. I'm God, and I can call 12 legions of angels right now, and I can stop every bit of this. But I'm not going to. I'm willing to go through it for you. I don't know why God looked at me. I don't know why he looked at us and had that much love that he allowed his Son. And I don't know why Christ had that much love that he was willing to go through that for us. And we ain't going to get to the end of the story till Sunday. But as we go through the latter part of this week, and I know I used to be confused as a young boy, why in the world would you call something Good Friday with what Christ went through? But man, the way that was made for us on Friday, man, we'll talk about Sunday when Sunday gets here. But for the next couple of days, let's focus on what Christ went through for us because he loved us so much. Because he wanted us to be made whole together with him. Because he wanted us to be able to be with him. Because he wanted us to have forgiveness of our sins. Yeah, I know it kind of seems like an oxymoron to say that it was Good Friday. But man, I want to tell you what Christ was willing to go through. That's something good for us. That's a love that if we ever get our mind wrapped around, if we can ever just get one little bit of a glimpse at the love that Christ had for us, I believe that it will continue to change our lives. I know it changed my life when I was 7 years old, but it will continue to change my life daily. And hey, give me a desire to want to walk with him. I believe that if we could get that a glimpse of that love that he had for us, it would do away with the Christians that said, well, I believe that it's okay for me to still do this. And I believe it's okay for me to still do this. That's against God's will. If we could ever really get a glimpse of that love, I believe it would turn us from saying, I want to kind of be in the world, to, man, I want to walk with God. If we could ever just get a glimpse of the love that Christ had for us. For the next couple of days, just take a few minutes from time to time. If you're down at the dumps, you're angry, you're stressed, whatever it is, and just think about how much Christ loved you. He went against his own will for your need. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, I don't know why you allowed your Son to come die for someone like me. And God, I don't know why Christ was willing to go to a cross for someone like me. But God, I just want to thank you tonight that I know that he would have done it just for me. And that he would have done it for just anyone that's in here, God. And thank you for letting us have that faith, God, that we accepted that and we have that relationship with you. But God, sometimes I know in my own life that other things begin to be important, and God, my life begins to pull away from you. And God, I pray that you'll help me to remember just how much that you love me. That even there in the garden, that it wasn't your will, but you knew my need. And I want to thank you and I want to praise you for it. God, I pray for some of our church family, God. I pray, dear Father, maybe some that come here regularly that may still not know you as their Savior, God. I pray that you'll just help them, God. God, I pray that you'll strengthen them. God, I pray that you'll be with them. And God, I pray that you'll help them to see their need for a Savior before it's everlasting too late. Help us be the Christians and the witnesses that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.